Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you guys are such quick learners. That makes me feel loved. It makes me feel like you're going to listen, which is good because I would love it if you would actually listen this morning. That'd be great. And so if this is your first time here or if you missed last week, I want to quickly tell you kind of what's going to happen this morning. So we are starting a brand new series that we're calling Love Revolution. And so today in particular is going to be, it's really been a heavy couple weeks for me. I've been prepping this message for several weeks now, and it's going to be a little bit of a heavy day for us. We're going to talk about sex and sexuality. And so we told you guys last week, some of you bring your smaller kids in with you, which is awesome. We love you doing that. We just want to make sure you know that today is going to be PG-13-ish, and so you've been warned. What we're going to say every single week during this series, next week we'll talk about parenting. In 3 weeks, I mentioned this last week, in 2 weeks, I'm just so excited. I can barely contain myself. Cale Buer, who is not engaged, not married, is going to give his first ever marriage sermon. And again, I'm just really happy about this. I'm going to sit somewhere right in there and take copious notes. Oh, tell me, Cale. Tell me how to have a better relationship with my wife of 7 years. Oh, master of marriage. It's like, so if you want to be cynical with me, you can do that, but it's going to be really, really good. What he's going to say that week, what we're going to say next week, what I'm going to say this week, and this will be kind of the theme for our series, is that God's love changes everything, and we really, really believe that. And as I was thinking this week and really for the last several weeks about what we might say about this, because I'm so convinced that this is true, and so I want to just press on you a little bit that maybe it's possible for everyone in the world, everyone in this room, to kind of know that this is true, to know, like, you read the scriptures or some pastor person tells you that God's love is really there, that God actually loves the world so much that he sent his only son to be crucified on our behalf, to suffer the penalty for our sin. God loves everyone in the world so much, the scripture tells us that. And so maybe it's true that all of us could know that, and maybe it's also true, and I think this will be especially important for us this morning, that it's possible for you and for me to not just know that, but to experience that so profoundly that it would change us. And that's, I might cry a lot today. I'm sorry. I've just been praying for you guys this week, and there's just so much pain in the room about what we're going to talk about today, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is what we want you to memorize for the next 3 weeks, if you could. It's just such a beautiful passage. We're actually going to study 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, and 11 today, but this is what we're going to talk about every week, and so I'm going to read this to you. And so Paul says to this group of Corinthians who are just a wreck, right? And so he says to them, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And when we proclaim to you that we really think that it's true, that God's love changes everything, we think that this is some of what we get. And this is pretty big deal stuff, that you would get washed and you would get sanctified and you would get justified. And so as I thought about talking and having this conversation this morning about sex and sexuality, I started thinking about the messages that we receive from our culture and maybe the experiences that we've had, because the truth is, for all of us, we hear a lot from our culture about this issue. And so one of the things that, as I thought about what our culture tells us, and if you want to take notes, I think this is the second thing in your listening guide, I would love it if you would take notes there in the app or whatever, but I think that it's fair to say that the general thrust of our culture, we're going to say two things that our culture tells us. When it comes to sexuality, our culture tells us that everything is permissible between consenting adults. That's one of the messages that I think it's fair to say that our culture tells us. Everything is permissible as long as you have adults and as long as you have consent. And really, the adult thing is kind of included in the consent, the idea being that if you're 9, you don't know enough, you haven't matured enough to actually give consent. And so everyone in our culture would say, for a 25-year-old man to be physically intimate with a 9-year-old girl, that is always wrong no matter what. Even if he says that she said that she consented, that is always wrong no matter what. No matter who you ask in our culture, that's wrong. Right? But then there are other things that maybe some elements in our culture, maybe churchy sort of people would say, we think that's wrong even though there's consent among adults there, but the culture says, no, if they're adults and they're consenting, they're good. And so I think that's one of the messages that our culture tells us about sex and sexuality. I think one of the other messages that our culture tells us about sex and sexuality, our culture tells us that sex on our own terms, so on my terms, on your terms, however, whoever you are, that sex, on our own terms, it's necessary for satisfaction. In other words, if you desire sex, then it is impossible. It's actually impossible for you to live a complete life, a satisfied life, a fulfilling life. It's impossible for you to do that without expressing your sexuality on your own terms. That's one of the messages that I think our culture tells us. But our culture isn't the only kind of source where we receive kind of these messages, and so I thought about our experience, and I could have added a million more adjectives. And so our experience, my experience with sex, your experience with sex, and maybe you have no actual experience with sex, but you've seen movies, you've read stories, you've looked at magazines, you've read articles about the 37 best ways to please him or her, or whatever. We all have some measure of experience with sex in our culture, and our experience tells us that sex includes love. We all love love, right? It's love, and it's joy, and it's excitement. And there's some power maybe that's involved. Maybe you have learned, maybe you're in this room and you've learned how to leverage your sexuality for power over other people. Maybe that's you. And then there's satisfaction. It's true that like we think of sex and we think of satisfaction. There's vulnerability, which we kind of love and hate. We love to be vulnerable. We love to be known. And we also kind of hate to be vulnerable. And we also kind of hate to be known, right? And then there's pain, emotional, physical pain and embarrassment and shame and numbness and confusion. And I mean, like I said, we could have added a lot of adjectives here. And this is where I want to say to us in this room, we've been praying for you this week. Like, I understand that for some of you, you had decisions that weren't made for you. They're not decisions that you made, but someone made a decision on your behalf regarding the use of your sexuality, and you've got a lot of this latter half in your heart regarding you. And there was an event, or maybe a bunch of events, that you feel like maybe somehow defines you. And I just want to say we recognize that, and that's awful. We're so sorry about that. And for some of us, we made the choice, but we look back on that choice or those series of choices, and we know that it was wrong. We know that it was sin. And we would look back and say, yeah, I think there was some of that there, but now that the relationship has ended and I see maybe what it was, there's a lot of this in my heart. And I made the choice. It wasn't someone making that choice for me, but there's this. And some of us are actively right now making choices with our sexuality, how we use it and interact with it. And it brings a lot of this. And this is a really emotional topic for us because of that. And so I think an important question for us, if this is true, and I think all this is true, that the culture tells us those two things and our experience about sex tells us that it includes a lot of this stuff. I think an obvious question is, well, what does God tell us? I mean, like, maybe it's true that God, through the scriptures, has actually spoken about our use of this gift of sexuality that he has given to us. What does he say? And so today, like I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is one of a million places in the scriptures where God addresses our sexuality. And before I pray, I think an important question that I think all of us came into the room having already answered, but let's ask it together, because this is important. Because I think a lot of times what happens for us in our culture is we accidentally or on purpose believe the statement that me using my sexuality on my terms is necessary for satisfaction. God says some stuff that says that I can't do that the way I want to do it, and then we come to maybe form this belief that the answer is against. That if you were to ask the question, is God for my joy? Is God for me? Does God love me? Does God want the best for me? Some of you would say no. At least in this particular area, I do not think that God is for me. I think that he's against me. And we just spent 25 minutes singing, proclaiming together that no matter who you are, God's for you. But if you don't believe that, then a lot of what we're going to talk about today, it's going to be difficult for you to hear. But I want to say to you that I am convinced that God is for me because of what he did in his son Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that God is for you. I'm convinced. So I hope that you, if you were thinking maybe he's against you, that you will at least ask the question again. So having said all of that, let's pray. I want you to know that what I'm hoping for today is miraculous. Because I know that some of us have deep emotional and spiritual pain. And I want that to go away. And only God can do that. And some of us are currently caught in sin that is sexual. And my prayer for us this week is that today would be the day that you could point to and say, that's when everything changed. I was stuck. I was sinning against this God who loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And that day was the day that God, not LifePoint or Adam or Josh or whatever, that God changed everything. Because God's love, we think it really can change everything. So let's pray together for a miracle, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you're a God who can do miracles. God, thank you so much that you love us. God, when we were your enemies, you loved us so much. Each of us in this room, God, you loved us so much that you sent your son, Jesus the Christ, to suffer on our behalf, to conquer death by his resurrection, to then offer the invitation of life to everyone in the world. God, to just trust your son, Jesus, and to find cleansing. God, we've been washed, sanctified, justified. God, I want to pray for the people in this room. God, for the people who are just in pain, shame, numbness, confusion regarding what has happened to them and maybe what's currently going on in their lives regarding their sexuality. God, we ask on their behalf for miraculous healing. God, that you would remove their pain, their shame, their dirt, their guilt. God, that you would heal them. God, we know you can. And God, for those of us who are here and we're currently living a life of sexual sin, God, I pray that you would help us to see that you love us and that experience and that knowledge of your love really can change everything. It can be satisfying. And that you would help us to repent, to turn towards you. And again, God, we know that's going to be miraculous. So God, we pray that you would meet with us here by your Holy Spirit. And God, that you would do that. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in the city of Corinth about 2,000 years ago. And so he says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And you see just in this first question in verse 9 that we're jumping into kind of in the middle of this letter that Paul wrote to Corinth, like he cares about these people in Corinth. Like he wants them to, as he says it, inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he wants them to be right in their relationship with God. And we want to say to all of you, we want that for you too. Like we really, really want you to be in the category of person who inherits the kingdom of God, who knows and loves and trusts Jesus Christ and thus will live in joy with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. We really want that for you. And so he says, don't you know, the unrighteous, they're not in that category. They don't get to inherit. They don't get to live with Christ forever in the joy that is his, 1,000 pleasures at his right hand. Don't you know they don't get to do that? And he says, don't be deceived. Maybe another way we could say it, don't listen to your culture. Sometimes they tell you things that are wrong. Be discerning when you get those messages. Just do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so since this series is about love revolution, and in particular we're talking about sexuality today, he gave a long list of things that characterize the kind of person who, if they're living in that lifestyle, they ought not to believe that they're a part of the kingdom of Christ. And so to summarize the things that he said about sexuality, and I wanted us to be able to take a breath here, and so we've got the English transliteration of the Greek words that Paul used regarding sexuality in particular in that list. And so how I'm going to summarize what Paul said there is that God tells us that pornos, moichos, malakos, and arsenal koites are all out of bounds for followers of Jesus. And so what do those words mean? So pornos is a sexually immoral person, okay? And so if you're asking the question, okay, well, a sexually immoral person, how would I know what counts as sexual immorality? Like, that's something that begs to be defined. And so when you look in Acts chapter 15, the early church actually had kind of a throwdown fight about what people who weren't Jewish had to follow in terms of rules from the Old Testament, and they summarized all of that in four things. They said, and one of those four things was, don't be sexually immoral. And so for us, if you're looking for kind of some content to fill in what it means to be sexually immoral, to be a person who is constantly chasing after sexual immorality, according to Acts chapter 15, the passages in the Old Testament that concern sex and sexuality are inbounds for us in terms of we have to submit to whatever those things say in the Old Testament, according to what Acts chapter 15 said. Acts chapter 15 says a lot of the things in the Old Testament no longer apply to us because they were for the nation of Israel in the Bronze Age, or they were for the nation of Israel's specific worship practices in the Bronze Age, but some of the rules are moral in nature and apply to all believers everywhere. And according to Acts chapter 15, you can go read it later. I'd love it if you call me out on that and say, hey, I'm going to go read it. Do it. Anything in the Old Testament would include this, or would be included in this. But what I want to focus on here, because Paul specifically talks about some other things later, are really two things. And the first is our use of pornography. And so, I don't know if you know this, but in our culture, pornography is a big, big problem. And it's not just the culture, like people out there. And we're part of the culture, right? And so for us, pornography is a problem. And so some stats for us to look at, a lot of stats. And so 68 million is the number of pornographic hits every day, making it the number one search for topic online. 53% is the percent of men identified with the Promise Keepers movement. So if you don't know what Promise Keepers is, these are like the all-star men of the evangelical subculture. So these are guys who are like really seeking to like get after it regarding honoring God with everything, including their sexuality. And so over half of them would say, yeah, in the last week, I consumed pornography. 72% is the percent of visitors to pornographic websites that are men, which leaves 28%, which a lot of you may be shocked by this, but 28% of the visitors to pornographic websites are women. 11 years old is the average age that a child would first see internet pornography, so not really super pertinent for our topic today, but if you have kids, man, be wise about filters and screen time and all that stuff, because the first time is usually on accident, and pornography is the kind of thing that wrecks people. 90% 8 to 16 year olds that report having viewed online pornography, 80% 15 to 17 year olds who say they have had multiple exposures to online hardcore pornography. And like I said a minute ago, this isn't a them problem. Like, oh, those evil people in our culture, they look at porn and 68 million and, you know, thank goodness we're so good. This is a very real struggle for a lot of people in the room. And a moment ago we prayed for the miraculous. We prayed that God would meet us, you, here, and change you. Change me. And so I want to say to you, if you're a guy who you would say this is a struggle for you. Some of you are addicted. Like you're addicted to watching other people have sex in the way that makes you feel. You're addicted to it. You don't feel like it's a choice anymore. We want to help you. If you come to us, and I'm inviting you right now to email me or Josh or Kale, we're not going to shame you. We're not going to judge you. We're going to walk with you. And we're going to help you to be rid of this thing. And this tells me that it's not just a guy problem. And so if you're here and you're a woman, and this is you, my sister leads our kids' stuff. Her email is in the listening guide. Please email her. She's not going to shame you. She's not going to judge you. She's going to walk closely with you and help you. Okay? Can we do that? Is that something that we're willing to do? And if it's not one of us, if you have someone who loves Jesus and loves you and they're of the same gender as you, we would recommend that. Man, talk to them. That's why life groups are so important. Sometimes those relationships happen in life group. Man, if you try to do this alone, I don't think you win. Okay. So the second thing that I would like to talk about, we'll just recap the entire sermon now. Or not. I'd like to talk about Greek words again. Yes, Greek words. So some of you are not married and you're sexually active. This is you. And I just want to say to you, you're invited to something better. And so for some of you, if you're in a relationship that is currently sexually active, and a lot of us like to play games and see like how far can we go and whatever, if it involves a sexual organ, so penis, vagina, right? If it involves either of those two things, it counts as this, okay? That's just kind of obvious. Sexual immorality, sexual organs, if you're using a sexual organ. And so some of you have some difficult conversations maybe to have with your significant other. And it doesn't mean you have to break up. But maybe you could pursue holiness in the context of your romantic relationships. And again, we just want to invite you to do that. And we're here to help you if you want help with that, whether it's life group or staff member or whatever. Moihos, a person who commits adultery. Man, I'm going to say the same thing for all these, I feel. Some of you are currently running towards an affair. And maybe you're not there yet, but in your more sober moments, you see it coming, and you're kind of excited about it, and you're kind of terrified by it. Stop. Shut off the relationship. Get a new job, if that's what it takes. Outside of your relationship with Christ, the most important relationship that you have is that with your spouse. And if you are already crossing, you've already crossed that line and you are currently having an affair on the person you promised to love till death do you part, stop it. And eventually confess. And that's going to be a train wreck. And if you need help, we can help you. We can help you walk through that. We can point you to counselors. We can counsel you. But to just stay in that pattern of having an affair on this person, this man or woman that you promised to love forever, that kind of person doesn't inherit the kingdom. And God is inviting you to something better. Last two get translated into kind of one statement in our English version of the Bible. Malakos is the passive male partner in same-sex physical intimacy. Arsenokoites is the active male partner in same-sex physical intimacy. So here I want to say a couple things. Because in our culture, which the church is a part of, there are people who would look at this group of men and women and they would proclaim vociferously, God hates you. And we do too. And if you ever cleaned this up, then you might be welcome to be with us. But if this is you, get cleaned up first, because you are unwelcome and God hates you. And to that, I want to say, I'm a pastor, right? I kind of represent the church. They're wrong. I'm sorry. That people who represent the God of the universe would say things that aren't true biblically and are also so mean. And I'm sorry. We're not going to tell you that. On the flip side, there are people in our culture and churches in our culture who would say, we celebrate you and God celebrates you and God loves you and it's true that God loves the world and God loves every individual in the world, but they also add to that, you can express your sexuality however you want and God is like up in heaven applauding you like, yay, two thumbs up, do whatever feels right to you. And we're not going to say that either. This isn't the only place, and a lot of places in the scripture, the biblical teaching is clear that if you are physically intimate with someone of the same sex, you're out of bounds. That is not God's design for sexuality. And there are a lot of arguments in our culture right now saying that either these words don't mean what they mean, and or that there's no way that this God of love would be against love as is expressed however we want to express it. And we're aware of those, and we find them to be unpersuasive. So I just want to let you know, we love you, and this is wrong, and God is inviting you to something better. That's what we want to say to you. And so what happens with this, right? This heavy, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, and it's this sexual stuff in nature. And so what happens? This is what I think is probably happening in a lot of us right now. Is it's emotional. And we feel dirty, maybe you would say shame. You feel dirty. Because what was done to you, what you did, what you're currently doing, you feel dirty. Some of you, whether it's you're currently in a relationship, whether you're currently strongly attracted to people of the same sex, and that doesn't seem like it's ever going to change, or you're currently looking at, you're watching people have sex all the time online or on video or whatever, and you're addicted to that. Maybe as you think about the stuff, you feel helpless. And for some of you, maybe all of us, we'll feel defensive. You don't get to tell me. God doesn't get to tell me. Or, hey, you don't know my situation. So if you could just hear my particular situation about why I am currently not married, but I'm yet sexually active with someone, whether they're of the same gender or someone of the opposite sex, if you just could hear my story, then you would, we feel defensive. And this is where I think the verse that I hope we all memorize this over the next 3 weeks helps us. And so Paul, talking about the stuff that we were just talking about and then some other things, he says, hey, and such were some of you. You used to be like what I just talked about. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so to summarize that, in Christ, you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. And I hope that the beauty and the greatness of that promise isn't lost on us, because if you're here and you'd say, yeah, I feel dirty, I feel ashamed of what has happened. I feel dirty from this thing that this person did to me or with me or whatever. God's word is proclaiming over you, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you were washed. You don't have to feel dirty anymore. And if you're here and you feel helpless against this thing that maybe has control over you or it feels like it's never going to change, you were sanctified. That means made holy. And part of holiness, and we don't think about this a lot, but you receive the Holy Spirit in you, which gives you power. And so if you feel helpless, you don't have to be or feel helpless regarding your sexuality. God, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, he's giving you power. He's giving you strength by his Holy Spirit to live in a way that pleases him. And if you're here and you're defensive, if you have trusted Christ, you don't have to do that anymore. Because you were justified. What that word means is that God has declared you innocent. Jesus is your defense. And so if you find yourself as someone who has already trusted Christ, feeling defensive about your sexuality, you don't have to defend yourself. Jesus Christ is your defense, and so take him up on all of his promises. You were washed. You were empowered. You were made holy. And Jesus is your defense. And so my prayer for us this week is that this reality that God's love changes everything, that you were washed and I was washed and we were sanctified, we were made holy, we were given power over the sin that besets us and attacks us from every direction. You were given power, and Jesus is our defense. Jesus is your defense. And so I hope, as I said at the beginning, that this contention on our part that God's love changes everything will be true of our sexuality, that we would experience the reality of God's love, and we would experience the truth that we have been washed, we have been sanctified, and we have been justified. Would you pray with me, please? God, thanks again so much for your word. God, thanks that it's true that your love does change everything and that everyone in the world is invited to trust your son, Jesus Christ. And God, we don't have to clean ourselves up first. God, we don't have to stop doing certain things or start doing other things before we can accept your invitation to trust your son, Jesus. Those aren't things that we do, God. Those are things that you do. So God, I want to pray for the people in the room, God, me, us. God, that this truth that we studied together this morning, God, that we have been washed. God, we're not dirty anymore. God, that we have been sanctified. God, we're not powerless. And God, that we have been justified. You have declared us to be innocent in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you would allow those truths to sink deep into our souls. Father, I want to ask specifically for the people who just have pain, who have sin. God, they need a miracle today. God, I pray that you would give that to them, that today would be the day that changed everything for them. And God, specifically for those who are stuck in sin, whether it's pornography or sex that falls outside of marriage, God, that you would encourage them, that you would remind them that they have been washed, they have been sanctified, they have been justified, and God, that you would give them the courage to reach out to somebody for help, for prayer, for accountability. God, may today be the day that healing and holiness begins for us in the area of our sexuality. We pray all this in Jesus' name.